Welcome to Lectionary Lunch at Concordia Seminary. My name is Jeff Gibbs, and I am recording the second of the two gospel readings for Advent 1. The first one is Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. The second one, which we'll consider now for a few minutes, is Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44, which is the first verses in the second half of the eschatological discourse. And this is a very appropriate reading for Advent 1 because it is a completely eschatological reading and contains important teaching for Jesus' disciples both then and now concerning the day which has still not come and concerning which no one knows, not the angels of heaven nor the Son except the Father only. To get up to speed, let's reach back to the beginning of chapter 24. Jesus has left the temple at the end of chapter 23, and then in 24:1, his disciples approach him to show, presumably with some positive twist, to show to him the buildings of the temple. And then Jesus' answer is, "You see all these things, don't you? Truly, I say to you, there will certainly not be left here a stone upon a stone which will not be kataluoed, which will not be thrown or torn down." So Jesus predicts, as he already has at the end of chapter 23, he predicts the temple's destruction. Verse 3 then, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples approached him, and as they almost always do when they approach Jesus, pros erchomai in Matthew, they approach him with incomprehension and misunderstanding. And so they ask two questions. Tell us, when will these things be? That is, when will the destruction of the temple happen? And now they add this part. What will be the sign of your parousia and the consummation of the age? The answer to the first question occupies verses 4 through 35. And I realize it's a very complicated chapter, part of the chapter. But here's the answer. Their question is, when will these things be? And the answer is verse 34. Truly I say to you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Again, I realize there's lots of complexities in here, but oddly enough, I'm speaking like a fool now. I actually wrote a dissertation on this. And if you buy that book from Concordia Publishing House, you can make me $2.50, and I will appreciate it. So, the temple will be destroyed before this generation passes away. But now what about the other thing? They ask, what will be the sign of your parousia and the consummation of the age? And the answer begins in verse 36, and the answer is, there will be no sign. The day will come suddenly, unexpectedly, earlier than you thought, later than you thought, like a thief breaking in the night, and so do not stop watching. So this, the first several small units, which are appointed to be read together as the gospel for Advent 1, share this very strong, clear, evident theme, that is, you won't know when Jesus is coming again, and so you must watch. It actually begs the question, or raises the question, well, if we don't know, why is it so important to watch? And we'll come actually back to that question at the end of the comments today. But let's just pick up then in verse 36 and work our way through verse 34. Now, when Jesus begins, Matthew writes, peri dei, now concerning tes hemeras ek kenes kai horas, now concerning that day and hour. Notice two things. One is it's shifted from those days, which he was talking about in verses 21 and 22 and 29 and so forth, because we're in a different part of the discourse now. It's not those days of first century tribulation leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem, but it's that day, that singular day, the judgment day. And the other thing is that peri de actually reaches back. Now concerning verse 3, the second question you asked there, now I'm going to tell you about the fact that there will be no sign, and that's why you need to watch. And in fact, Jesus says something very extraordinary. He confesses that no one knows about that day, not the angels of heaven, nor the Son, no one knows except, amen, the Father alone. So here is a mystery that, and we could use our well-formed dogmatic categories to deal with this. One might say, according to his human nature, just as Jesus was in a state of humiliation, so he does not know the day of his own return, because that's what it says. But what he will say is this. He'll make some comparisons. Verse 37. For just as the days of Noah, thus will be the parousia, the appearing, the coming of the Son of Man. Now let's explain that. Verse 38. Hoskar, for as they were in those days, the ones that were before the cataclysmu, before the cataclysm, the flood. Now we have participles, two pairs. And I think maybe the best way to take them is to reach back to aeson, the linking verb, at the beginning of the verse, and read the participles periphrastically. That is, they were eating, trogoing, and pinoing, drinking. They were gamuntasing, they were gameoing, marrying, and they were being given in marriage. And in other words, and the picture here is life as usual, normal life. Not expecting anything to change, anything dramatic. So just as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, giving in marriage, akris heis, until which day Noah entered into the kibbutz, into the ark, and they did not know until the flood, the cataclysm, came and took them all. Hutos estai, he parousia, tu huiu tu anthropu. Thus will be the parousia, the appearing, the coming of the Son of Man. Again, the point of comparison with the day of Noah in the generations of Noah is they simply did not know. They were oblivious. And so you have to watch. The little comparison of the two people in the field or the two women at the mill has a similar message, verses 40, 41, and I would link 42 actually with it as well against the paragraph break in Nestle Aland. Verse 40, then two will be in the field. Heis paralambanata, one is being taken, or one, give it a futuristic cast because of the context, one will be paralambano, taken along. And one will be afi'emid, one will be left. Verse 41, two alethusai, feminine participle. So two who are grinding in the mill or at the milo. Now let's talk about them. Oh, one is taken, one will be taken, and one will be left. Verse 42, gregoretaun, watch therefore. Why? Because ukoideta, you did not know at what sort of time, what sort of day, the Lord of you is coming. Now, maybe I could pause here and make what might be an obvious comment. But the thinking can go something like this. If we don't know what time Jesus is coming, why should we bother watching? And the parables, the parabolic material that now comes at us in sort of sequential fashion, offers a pretty good reason for answer for this question. You should watch because it's a possibility that you might turn out to be an unfaithful slave. You should watch because you might end up like a guy who's like the owner of a house where a thief dug through the wall and stole him blind. In other words, the time during which we now still live, just as those first generations of believers did after Easter and Pentecost, we are still living in a time as we wait for the coming of Jesus, and the time is dangerous. There are dangers. There are temptations which, if they cannot steal our faith completely, they will rob us of power to love our neighbor and serve the mission of Christ. So it is dangerous, and the day will come suddenly. There will be a division. One will be taken, one will be left. and watch, therefore, is Jesus' encouragement. Now, of course, the dispensationalists, our friends with the Left Behind series, read these verses in a completely different way, as if they were referring to something called the rapture of the church. And I can't get into that now, other than to say that it's, in the history of the church, certainly a minority reading, and it's very mistaken and badly wrong. Somewhat ironically, it's at least possible that they their use of verse 40 and 41 is actually backwards. As you know, in the Left Behind understanding of things, to be left behind is bad. To be taken is good. And it's at least as possible that it's the other way around here. And now, it's a different verb. In verse 39, Jesus has said, "They did not know until the flood came and took them all." There, to be taken is clearly bad. And the point is, it's that it's a different verb. It's iro, and the verb for taking here in verse 40 is paralambano, or paralambanomai. But it's at least as possible that being taken is bad, and being left behind is what you want. And if that's the case, it would be a little funny. But it's not about the rapture. It's about the judgment day. It's about the return of Christ and their separation of two who, by all outward expressions, were the same. Nevertheless, there is a division. And that's the warning that Jesus gives to his disciples both then and now. It's the time of waiting is a dangerous time. Satan is trying to trap us and deceive us, and we need to watch for his coming because he wants us to. Verse 43, then, to finish off the reading, has another image, and it's a kind of a grim one, but it illustrates and supports this point that the Son of Man is returning when you do not think he will. So Jesus says there in verse 43, akena da genoskata. The verb there could be an indicative, but it's, I think, normally translated as imperative. But know that thing, hati, that if... Now we have a contrary to fact conditional sentence, and it follows a formula. You have A, if, plus a past time indicative verb in the first clause, and then you have the little particle on plus a past time indicative verb in the second clause. So you have to translate it. It's a formula in Greek, and you have to translate it as a contrary to fact conditional sentence in English. But know that thing, that if the householder, the oikodespotes, had known... the verb there is eide, and it's from oida, which means I know. And this is, oddly enough, it's a pluperfect form, believe it or not, but it translates just as an aorist indicative, past time indicative. But if the householder had known at what sort of philake watch the thief was coming, egregoreson on. See, the on in the then clause in the apodosis tells us that we have to translate it as contrary to fact, and so we would do, then he would have watched, and he would not have aosened, he would not have permitted his house, dia ruchthenai, to be dug through. And then verse 44, on account of this also, humes, you be hetoimoi, ready. Why? Because at which... you do not think hour the Son of Man is coming. At an hour which you do not think the Son of Man is coming. And so this theme, again, of the unexpected timing of Jesus' return and of our need to watch for it. This will not happen unless we Christians are fueled by two convictions. The first is that the world is broken, and God earnestly desires to completely restore it and to remove all sin and all danger. So the world is badly broken. The second insight that's necessary, really, is related to that first one, and that is we are badly broken, and sin could tear us away from Christ. If we live in it too long, if we, you know, do sinful things. So that's... the second gospel reading for Advent 1 Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. And thank you very much.